writes, I am completely off this morning because I had a wicked case of food poisoning Friday night, and there's still reminiscence of it this morning, and I have a foggy head. And when I heard her reading that scripture, I'm like, is that the scripture I'm preaching on this morning? So it's a little bit of a, yeah. But that is the right scripture, so it's good. I want to explore a biblical perspective of work this morning. Back in August or September of 2016, I touched on family and work, but I want to hone in a little bit more on work itself and look at it from a biblical point of view. We spend a lot of time at work, or if you're retired, you spent a lot of time on the job. Work has a huge impact on us. And in a group this size, there's bound to be workers from both sides of the spectrum, you know, and in between, from workaholics to unemployed, from big income to small income, manual laborers to just cognitive work, from the retired to the new to the workforce, and from those who love their work to those who are unsatisfied and unhappy. With work taking up so much time in our lives, we've all created attitudes or views toward work. In the movie Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? I've mentioned this before, but it just makes me laugh every time. There's a song that talks about this certain mountain located in paradise, a place of joy and pleasure. And to protect it, the song says that the people living there hung the jerk that created work. Hung the jerk that created work. Work is seen as a bad thing in that song. I found an article from 3 years ago, and it cites surveys about job satisfaction. These surveys started back in 1987, and they show a growing trend in unhappy employees. In 2014, 52% of North Americans were unhappy with their jobs. 52%, that's over half the workforce is unhappy with their job. Globally, in 2013, 48% of employees were unhappy at work. Now, that's a lot of unhappy people at work. And considering an 8-hour workday on average, that's a lot of time spent unhappy or miserable or just trying to plow through what you don't like to do. But is work all about enjoying it and being happy and not suffering from the Sunday night blues? I've mentioned that before too. That's the Sunday night blues, as Sunday night rolls around and you get really depressed because you know that when you go to bed and wake up in the morning, you got to go back to the job that you don't like doing. So it's a kind of a depressing time, that Sunday night, when the weekend is over and the work week begins. Whether we are unhappy or unhappy with our jobs, whether we do volunteer work, so that's for the retired, or that you do other kinds of work, volunteer work, that you're not getting a paycheck for, but you're still doing work. So whether we get paid for the work we do, or if it's voluntary work that makes us happy or unhappy, is that what counts? Is that what matters? But when we look to God's word about work, he provides us with his view on how we are to approach work. And the potential is quite profound on how it can change how we approach work. So that's what I want to look at this morning, a few pieces of scripture that speak about work. And I'm not preaching on how to be a happy employee or something like that. I want to help us to establish some kind of foundation of the right understanding of work, be it for a paycheck or for not a paycheck. These truths, they can impact our work, and they can impact us in a positive way for the Lord. So let's pray in that way and then jump into this sermon here. Father, would you soften our hearts and open our ears and get our minds ready to interact with your word, that this would make a difference on us tomorrow morning, or whatever work we're getting into, that we would see it the right way, We say that we worship you with our whole lives, and work is definitely a big portion of our lives, so we want to do that. So Father, please help us to fall in line with your will and change our hearts and our minds for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are three points that I want to cover. One, work was created by God. Two, work was created to glorify God. Three, work is serving God by serving people. So they're very familiar points, but potentially new in applying them precisely to work. So the first one, work, where did it come from? Well, the easy answer is, of course, God. God created work. But God created work because God is a worker. Genesis 2 verse 2 says, on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So there's repetition going on there, and we get the impression that we are to know God did some work. In the beginning, God created. God is the creator. His creativity in bringing about creation is referred to as work. He worked. God is a worker. We might want to dismiss God's work and speak of it as a figure of speech, you know, God worked, that kind of a thing. But he was actively at work, creating everything. His work is more work than any work you've ever done or will do. He created everything you work with. We don't know exactly what his working looked like. We know it involved speaking creation into existence. And from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and verses 21 to 22, he formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. In verse 21 to 22, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, God took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. So God personally molded and made man and woman. He formed them. He created them. He worked because he is a creator. He is a worker. Now, listen to these three passages from Genesis. These are ones that Zoe had read, and then a third one. So Genesis 1, verse 26 to 27 says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it. Genesis 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. So from these three passages, we find that we are image bearers of God, and God is a worker. We are commanded to subdue and have dominion over creation, which is taking what is created and work it into submission so that it provides for us. Plus, people were put into the garden to work it. So you take those three together and you realize that we are designed to be active workers in this creation. God created us to do some work. We are workers that are created in the image of God, who is also a worker. Some think that having to work is a result of sin entering the world. It's part of the curse, not something that that was created by God. But God is entirely perfect and holy, and he worked, which means work is a good thing. Plus the curse on the ground, making it hard to work, it came in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, which is after God had worked himself and also put people in the garden to do work. God could have made the Garden of Eden and all of creation work free, but he didn't. He wants us to be active. He wants us to work. So we are workers because God is a worker. He created work. Number two, what does God want to come from our work? What's our work to accomplish? God created work for people to use to glorify Him. So God's intention for work is the same intention He has for all of creation, which we find in Romans 11, verse 36. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, same thing. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So our work, the specific things we do, our jobs, employment, or our volunteer work that we are doing, are to be done for Him to display His greatness, like a telescope or microscope enhances an object. So our work is to display God's greatness. So if your job is physical labor of some sort, or you work in the service industry in some way, whatever it is, you are to do your work in a way that shows God's greatness, that displays God, that makes a big deal about God, that is pleasing to God, that reflects who God is. That's how you and I are to view our jobs, the work we are doing, the work you did last week, the work that's coming up this week. It's not just a job. It's not. It's not just a task. It's not just a paycheck. It's not just a volunteer job. It's not your source of identity. It's not primarily about survival or supporting others. It is an opportunity to show and reflect God's character, who He is. Work is always an opportunity to glorify God. Work is always about God. Always. Now, this is a huge mind shift for us in North America, in this world of entitlement where everything is basically about us, where people are picky about their work. They think they deserve to be paid an enormous amount of money for hardly any work. That's not what work is to be about for Christians. It is first and foremost obeying God and working, living as image bearers of God, and glorifying Him. Glorifying Him. That's the reality of work. That's the reality of your job. And we can move in that direction, living that way. We can. It often seems like this is impossible. How do we sort this out when we actually get on the job? But we can live this out. And here's why. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is changing us into being more like Christ. Our minds are being transformed by the Holy Spirit and by the Bible, so that no matter what our work is, whether paid or voluntary, we can glorify God with our work. And that's what it's meant to do. So, number three, how exactly do we glorify God through our work? How does that work? And that's, I think, an important question, because once I started hearing about we are alive, we exist, all of our lives exist to glorify God, I was always wondering, like, well, how do you glorify God? What does that actually look like? That's a cool Christian term, glorify God. But what does that look like in the day-to-day, moment-by-moment actions that we have? And God helps us understand this in some practical ways. And for work in particular, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9 help us. The Lord says, "Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man." knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. This is the same context in Colossians chapter 3, where verse 23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So, we Christians are called to do our work with the understanding that God is our true boss. Our human boss is just a physical stand-in for God. God is your boss. Obey your earthly masters as you would Christ. Work as bondservants of Christ. Work as to the Lord and not to man. God is the boss of everything, whether people acknowledge it or not, and we are to acknowledge it, and we are to do our jobs, our work, for God as our boss. He's our boss. It's like if you're standing, your boss is standing right in front of you, giving you instructions about the job, you actually see God standing in front of the boss. You see the boss, but through God. The real boss you are serving is God. The work you are doing is for God. So if your job is manufacturing something and you're a Christian, you are working for the Lord, which eliminates a whole bunch of heart attitudes and behaviors immediately. Like, if you want to show God's greatness, reflect God's character in your work, you're not going to do a lousy job, right? You're not going to cut corners when no one's looking. Or you're not going to do just enough work, but you're actually going to do a great job. You're not going to steal from work. You're not going to badmouth your supervisor or the owner. You're not going to be complaining about the job over and over again. You won't, because you're doing it for the Lord. If your job is serving people and you're working, you actually have that understanding that you're working for the Lord. The Lord is your true boss. You're not going to treat people as being beneath you in value, that you're more important than everybody that you come into contact with. You're not going to do just enough for a person, just the bare minimum for them. You're not going to shaft them. Why not? Because you're working for the Lord. You're working for the Lord. What would incorporating this truth Monday to Friday do to our attitudes, to the way that we talk about our work or what we talk about work? You know, often we hear people say, oh, the boss, oh, the union, oh, my pay is so low, my pay just, or I had to do this at work and my boss always makes me. What if we, as Christians, actually understood that all that complaining was about God, who is our true boss? Then this is what we sound like. Oh, God did this again to me today at work. Oh, God did that again to me at work. Oh, God is only paying me this much money. It's so cheap. Oh, God made me do this, or God made me do that again. I hate doing that. Oh, God is just this. You know, how does that sound? That's pretty terrible. But that is what we are doing, whether we acknowledge it or not. Because when God saved us, he brought us into his kingdom where he is the boss, he's the king, he's the Lord of everything, even while we live here on earth. He is our Lord, he is our boss. That complaining is about him then, if we actually take these passages, God's word, serious about doing all our work for him, as unto him being our boss. As Christians, the Lord showered us with grace upon grace, giving us forgiveness and righteousness and adoption through Jesus Christ, all of which we don't deserve. And everyone that you and I come into contact with is undeserving of God's grace, just like you and I are. And we are all people. He is the only God. None of us deserves any goodness. So when we work for the Lord, do this work as unto the Lord, the result is that we are doing good to people, and the good that we're doing toward people is just passing on a very little bit of that enormous amount of grace that God has given to us, just a fraction. But that is exactly what God is telling us to do. Do your work as unto the Lord, and in doing that, you are glorifying God and blessing and loving people that you are working with, that you are working for, that you are serving. So work was created by God. He is a worker, and we are image bearers. And he put us in the Garden of Eden. He put people in the garden to work it. We are designed to work. We are workers. Work was created to glorify God. It's about him. It's not about us and beefing up our bank account and trying to have an image or feeding our identity or those kinds of things. It's primarily to glorify God. And work is to be done for the true boss, who is the Lord. The Lord. Work is good. It's good. It's very good. We should be working. And as image bearers, we are told to work, whether we get paid or we are volunteering, whether young or retired, whether physically fit or physically challenged, we are to work in some capacity. We are to work. As Ephesians 6 verse 5 says, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling with a sincere heart. Colossians 3 verse 23 says, work heartily. We are to be workers. We are to be actively at work. And if you're young and you're out there in the workforce, that's good. If you're retired and you're still keeping yourself busy by doing work for the church, for the community, that's good. We are called to do that. In the book of Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians, I think that's where it is, where the Apostle Paul really takes that church to task, because there were some in that church who weren't working anymore because they were saying, hey, the Lord's coming back soon, so what's the use of working? Let's just wait for him to come. And then they sat back and they did no work. And they just lived off of other people and were idle. And he took them up on that and said, don't, you are supposed to be working. Get busy working. Work is a good thing. It is a good thing, and we should be engaged in it. It is created by God. We can use it to glorify God and work for the Lord as our true boss. So let's do that, church. Let's live out who we are in this way, at our jobs, on the job, bringing glory to God, and not just going along with how the world is. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is some tough stuff. You call us to tough stuff. And on our own, we cannot do it. We just cannot make it happen on our own. Lord, we need your strength. We need your power. We need you to renew our minds, transform our minds, so that it lines up, our minds and our hearts line up with your word. And we want that. We want that, Father. We want to view tomorrow morning when we go to work, we want to view that in the right way, that our work isn't exempt from our living in worship of you, that how we help out at the schools, how we help out here at the church, how we help out in the community, that's not exempt of living our lives in worship of you. Father, help us not to just drift along and do what the world does and talk like the world does and have the same attitude like the world does towards work. Father, help us to be the light, your light in the world, by glorifying you in our work and by working for you at our jobs, even though we're working for companies. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to pass on your grace and your goodness in these ways. We ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to celebrate communion.